I thought I would be done with salvation, but the Lord placed one last lesson in my spirit, and we're going to cover that this morning. As I indicated before, there is so much that goes on in the life of the a believer when they become saved till it's often overlooked. And in order to fully grasp what has been done in your life, it's important that you know all these things, all these wonderful things that God has done for you, for us. Amen? Amen. And I mean, we talked about justification, and we really need to understand that to be justified is what God is saying to us, is that everything that you did in the past, it's just as if you never did it. Now, y'all got to liven up a little bit. Because that was a hallelujah moment right there. Oh, yeah. I mean, that was a hallelujah moment right there, if ever. And so you've been justified. And a lot of times we feel like our past dictates where we are and who we are. But with God, that's not so. And that's a blessing, because if God held our past against us, then how could we be saved? How could we ever experience joy? Amen? And so I thank God, hallelujah, for justification, because I have been justified. I can stand before his throne clean. Amen? And not ashamed of what happened in my past. So let's take a look, and we're going to look at the same scripture that we had last week. And we'll look at, let's read again, Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 10. It's ought to be familiar with us. Mark chapter 10. And I want to be brief, because I, like everybody else, I am hungry. Because I told y'all before, I don't eat on Sunday mornings, because I want to just keep my spirit and my mind and my soul clean, clear for the word, and I eat afterwards. And so, Mark chapter 10. And we're going to start in the 17th verse. Let's read 17. And I'll read this briefly. Now as he was going out into the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said unto him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your mother and your father." And he answered and said, "Teacher, I've done these things and kept these from my youth." Then Jesus looked at him and said unto him, "Then one thing that you lack, go and sell whatever you have and give it to the poor, and come follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up your cross and follow me." And the story goes on with the young man walking away, unsaved, not wanting to give and sell what he had, because he had great possessions. And that's often what happens in the life of an unbeliever who has great possessions. They don't want to let that go. And they don't understand that they're not letting it go. You're basically surrendering your hold on it so that God can come in and salvation can be yours. Today, I want to talk about there's three other areas in life that we need to talk about that happens in the life of the believer. Number one, and it is powerful. Amen. Number one is adoption. Okay? In the life of a believer, you become a child of God when you are saved. You're no longer a servant. You're no longer just a believer. You become one of God's children. Selah. We could pause and let that sink in. You are a child of God. Let's take a look at John chapter 1. The Gospel of John chapter 1. John chapter 1 verses 12 through 13. Read. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believed in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God gives you the blessing of becoming one of his children. Amen. Now, regeneration deals with new life. We talked about that last week. You got a new life. Justification deals with a new attitude. But adoption, hallelujah, adoption admits mankind into the family of God. You are beyond just being a believer. You are now a child of God. Regeneration deals with a change in your nature, a change in the way you handle things and the way you act. And justification deals with a change in where you stand with God. All right? And sanctification deals with a change in your character, who you are inside. Sanctification deals with your character. But adoption deals with your position. You have a new position. Now, you're not just a servant, you're not just a believer, you're a child, you're a member of God's family. And it's sad that people outside of salvation, they don't get that. They don't understand that the beauty of being saved is your father, whom a lot of people who are raised didn't have their father around. Didn't have the love, didn't have the protection, didn't have the care. Well, God knows all that, and he corrected that in society. Whereas he became your father. Mm. And so now the phrase that the word uses when Jesus taught us to pray, he says, Abba, Father, becomes real to you now. It touches you in your heart because he is your father. Amen? You can go to him with any request. And he will hear and answer your prayer. Because you are his child. You're not just a creation that he made. You are his child. Hallelujah. And so adoption says that you have been placed in a position and no longer just a believer or a servant. You have breached the womb of just being saved, and you are now a part of his bloodline. You hear what I'm saying? You are a part of his bloodline. Regenerated fully, sanctified by the blood of Jesus, and you don't have to worry about any longer who your father is. When you are a child of God, that right there says a lifetime, makes a lifetime of statements. Yes, you had a natural father. Yes, you had someone who was helped in producing you. And when you were born, that person may or may not have been there. But now God is always and will always be there. Amen? You are his child. You have been adopted into his family. Amen? Amen? And so it is beyond just being saved. Galatians 4, 1 through 7 say this. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, hallelujah, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, I can testify that when you get to a certain point in your relationship with God, and you hear, you're in church and you hear people praying, and they're worshiping, and they're saying, oh, Father, hallelujah, and they're praying in to their Father, and before that relationship is manifested in your heart, you're longing for that type of situation. You know, hearing them call God Father is something that you desire. You can say the word, but you don't quite get that feeling, that closeness, that relationship as that person who's praying, that person you're watching. And then as you grow and as your relationship begins to manifest and begins to get closer and closer to God, like the scripture says in verse 6, he says, and because you are sons, because God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, you begin to cry out, Abba, Father. And now, hallelujah, it begins to resonate in your spirit. Hold up, wait a minute. Jesus, he is my Father. He did create me. Glory to God. He does know how many hairs are on my head, how many times I blink during the day. He is my Father, and he knows everything about me because he created me. Amen. And it is a blessing that we can get to that point in Christ. Adoption means it's a legal term. And adoption means the placing of a son or daughter under the care of parents that did not give birth to them. You are taking full authority for this child. And legally, it's a legal term that was used in the Greek language by the Romans. And literally, it means taking somebody else's child who either passed or has given them away and raising them up as if it's your child. Now, God has taken all of us who parents have died before we got to know them, or whose parents has left before we got to know them, and pulled you in to his family and raised you as his child. That's what adoption means. And that's what happens when you get saved. You become adopted by God. And it's so sad that outside of salvation, Lord have mercy, outside of salvation, they don't experience that. They are wounded, sick, hurt, beat down, needing the Father. The fatherless needs the Father, but they won't call on him and they won't come into him the way he has established for them to come. So they continue to stay outside of that family relationship. When the simple fact of the matter is, all they have to do is make a confession with their mouth and a belief in their heart. And instantly, they become a child of God. And now they have the Father of fathers watching over them. That's a glorious, wonderful thing. And that's what they need to know and hear from us. You know? The joy that you have, the relationship you have, people don't see it, but they envy that. And they want part of that. They want it. They're not going to tell you to your face, but they talk about you behind your back. I wish I had that joy she has, that Lori has, or that giving heart that Sabine has. And I just wish I had that. But in your face, they're like, I'm fine. I'm girl. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, no, I don't need that. I don't need that. Yeah, all right, okay. But as soon as you turn your back and walk away, they're like, gosh, I wish I had that joy. I wish I was able to give and help people like that. No, she ain't got it to give, but she always has something to give. You know? They don't understand that. They don't understand that. And so adoption is a legal term. And actually, you won't find it, and it's rare, even if you can find it, taking place in the Old Testament, in the Jewish life. Family would grab up a sibling or a child that was lost, not a stranger. Amen? So adoption is the beauty and the wholeness that it makes a child feel who was lost without a father, without a mother, and struggling for that type of relationship, to know in your heart that, wait a minute, you mean you've been my father all this time? You've been watching over me? You were the reason I got pushed out of the way of that oncoming truck. You grabbed me? That was you, Lord? You gave that job to me when I was struggling trying to take care of my one or two kids and didn't have an education or a degree? And I got picked over those with education, degrees, and experience? That was you, Lord? Yes. That was God. Because you are his child. You've been adopted. Amen? Number two. Sanctification. When you're saved, you've heard people say, I'm saved, fire baptized, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? But sanctification says, outside of God, outside of Christ, you were so filthy and dirty. God had nothing to do with you. God wanted nothing to do with you. I correct myself. He wants something to do with you. But because you are unclean and because you are unsaved, he can't do anything with you. Sanctification says, when you become saved, and you become before God and you ask to be cleansed, or you are just the salvation fact washes you from head to toe. Washes all the dirt, all the filth, all the hatred, all the sin, all the past wrongdoings. Everything in your past that you've ever done gets washed away. Because you've been sanctified in Christ by the blood of Jesus. So you've been adopted. Now what? Where do we go from here? And inside salvation, you've been justified, regenerated, you've been adopted. But God says to his child, I have one more. I have a little bit more. Now I want to take all the stuff that you feel shamed about, all the stuff that you feel guilty about, all the stuff that makes you feel unclean. I'm going to wash it all away. And you're going to stand before me pure, clean, and holy, sanctified in my presence. It is so sad to understand that outside of salvation, you could wash 50 times a day. You can have the best soap. You can have three people scrubbing your body down. You can be the richest man or woman in the world. But in the eyes of God, Lord have mercy, you are still unclean. And cannot come into his presence. Amen? So you have to be sanctified. I love the way the stories in the Old Testament would do it. They would, anytime God would move in the Old Testament from Abraham, Moses on down. Anytime God would make a major move and he would require that his prophet or his children come before him to behold his glory or behold his acts, he would send out a decree that the whole nation of Israel had to sanctify themselves before they could come into his presence. Husbands couldn't go near their wives. Wives can go near their husbands. Priests had certain duties they had to perform. Certain things had to be cleaned out your home. Certain clothing could not be worn. All these things had to take place, and you had to be sanctified. And then the Spirit of God or the move of God would take place after sanctification. Amen? And so, what does sanctification mean? What is sanctification? Is being separated from the world, separated from evil, and set aside. Hear me now. Set aside for God's purpose, for God's pleasure, for God's usage. So when you hear that person say, I'm saved and fire baptized and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, keep an eye on them. Because either they are or they're not. And in the next few statements come out their mouth, you're going to tell. Or the next few actions they take, you're going to know whether or not they sanctified or fire baptized. Fire baptized is regeneration. That's all that is. They've been born again. And 1 Corinthians 6, 7, say this. 7 through 11. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 7 through 11. It says, now therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? In other words, taking one to court, taking another believer or another person to court. Why do you not let yourselves be cheated? Verse 8, no, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? That's another lesson that we got to get into. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Now, I just want to pause for a brief second, because y'all know I've dealt with that a lot. The word sodomite is literally means a person who, I got children in here, a person who shares sleeping quarters with the same sex. Now, they'll tell you that it's not in the Bible. It doesn't say it. Well, there it is. Sodomite. Amen? Because it mentions it specifically. It says, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites. Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So all the filth and dirt and rags and evil and bad things we've done in our lives was washed away. Now, the beauty of salvation is, and the reason God wants me to teach this is because we don't know all this takes place. You think that, you know, okay, I'm saved, now I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. But you don't realize what happened. You don't understand the fullness of what just happened. You are a new person now. You are washed clean. You can now, if you don't like the life you had before you got saved, you could be born again. You could get a whole new life now. Y'all gotta stop being so serious. Y'all scaring me. You could get a whole new life. You could be born. It's only in Christ that you can be born again. And I love that billboard I saw in this church. It says, if you don't like the life you live, you could be born again and live a whole new life. That's what the billboard at this church said. It just, I just loved it. I took a picture of it. So if you don't like the life you live, you could be born again. Thank you. Hey, man, I got a witness. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Amen. But you were sanctified, justified, and cleansed. Amen. Salvation is a wonderful thing, a wonderful gift that God put in place for all believers, for all his children. Let me correct myself. For everybody on the face of this earth. But it's only the believer that can receive the fullness, can receive it. And the last thing, I'll be brief, and my wife can cover this in detail, is prayer. When a child of God is saved, prayer no longer becomes a task. It no longer becomes a struggle. The Bible says Abraham and God were friends. Abraham and God had a dialogue. Abraham talked to God like you talk to your best friend. Amen? Amen. Salvation, prayer inside salvation, after you realize you've been adopted, after you realize you've been sanctified, justified, redeemed, cleansed, prayer becomes personal. Now you can talk to God like he is your father, because he is. And so prayer becomes personal. Prayer becomes, it's you can feel it. Amen. It just becomes like you're talking to somebody that knows you and that you know. It's not just a task anymore. It's a personal conversation you're having with God, with your father. You're talking to daddy. You're talking to the one who can provide your every need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He can provide everything you need. Your request simply becomes an ask. Just ask. Amen? So when we're out ministering and I'm finished. When we're out ministering and we're talking to people, I want these lessons to sink into your hearts. And I want you to go back and look at your notes and let it meditate, let it marinate in you, so that when you're talking to them, you can express and share this personal relationship you have. You can share all the things that happened to you in your life when you became saved. You can share all the wonderful things that can't be seen by the natural eye. You know, your relationship with God. And you know, they're gonna want that. And they may not say it, or they may not throw it out there at you, but they're gonna want that. And you would have planted a seed in the heart of someone who didn't believe and didn't have that with God, to the extent that now they are searching for it. And now you'll get the credit and God will get the glory. Because another child in heaven will rejoice. Because another child has found his way back home. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. And we ask that you would bless those under the sound of my voice. And Father, we thank you that you would bring to their remembrance the words of salvation, the blessing, the gift, the trueness, the fullness, Father, that they will all enjoy and walk in that joy unspeakable. And one day in their lives, Father, from the depths of their heart, reach out and cry out to you, Abba, Father. In Jesus' name, I want everybody to say that, Abba, Father. Amen.